Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. The doctors are in. I'm Dax Carlisle coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona. I'm executive producer of Psyche Talk and president of the Tarot Guild. And of course, as always, we have our open line show here on Friday. And we're about to go into the holiday weekend, at least those of us in the United States. Happy Labor Day, everybody, or happy Labor Day weekend. And let me bring on my fabulous co-hosts, not one, but two. That's right, Dr. Rose Wilkerson and Dr. Sharona Rapsik. Let's bring them on. Hey, ladies.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Yeah. It's great to be on with you guys. I think this is the first time that we've had, you know, three doctors on it in a row. So that's pretty cool.
Definitely cool.
Oh, yes, yes. So we are a live call-in show, and we do have a mini topic today. We're going to be talking about divine altars. Altars is an interesting topic, so this is going to be a lot of fun. But you can also call into the show. So if you're out there listening live here on Friday, what is it, August 30th, 2019, give us a ring, 714-816-4628. Remember, you can join us in the chat room, too. And actually, there are a bunch of people in the chat room over at psychetalk.net/live. That's right. So any day of the week, you can just go to our main website, psychetalk.net, and at the top of any page, just click Listen Live. And it'll take you right to the show that day. There's a player, and you can click on the link that says click here to find the start time near you, and it'll give you a list of cities around the globe, and you can see when the next show is going to be live. And then there's a player to listen to the show right there on the page. And if you scroll down below the player, you'll see the chat room. You can pop in the chat room. You can chat with us during the show. You can comment on the topic, and you can ask questions about all the things that we deal with, like tarot and numerology and angels and psychic development and Reiki and crystals. And oh my God, it just goes on and on and on. So, you know, virtually anything. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. You can ask me about that. Sharona is an angel Reiki master. I don't know if I said that right. Anyway, and then of course, our mantra maven, Dr. Rose. Yeah. Yeah. Anything you want to learn about the Vedic ways and gods in India and around the globe, as well as mantras, of course. Rose always throws out a mantra. She has a mantra for everything in her little tool belt there. Yeah. So you can ask all those questions. And you can give us a call, you know, or you can ask for a mini reading as well, right there in the chat room, or just call into the show, 714-816-4628. Remember, as soon as you get through, press 1 on your dial pad. That pops you up into the caller queue, and we take the calls in the order that they come in. But we don't know you want to be live on air if you don't press 1 on your dial pad. So dial 714-816-4628, and as soon as you get through, press 1. If you're Skyping in, go to the Skype app. Open the dial pad, press 1. There we go. Okay, now I got that out of the way. What's been going on with you ladies? I know I've been really busy. Sharona, what are you up to?
Oh, I've been busy. Should I talk about my upcoming show that's coming up in October? I've been getting all ready for that. And, you know, studying. going to be taking a trip the end of next week up to Kripalu. I'm going to take a class with Radley Valentine. He's kind of the who's
That's
who in angel cards. So this is going to, his class is going to be on magic, believe it or not. So he wrote a book on how to be your own genie. So I believe
wish I could
magic
be there
too.
With you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots
and
of great
Dr.
stuff
Rose,
going
what
on.
Have you been up to? Yeah.
Yeah. So I just came back from a few days of vacation where I was in Arizona, actually, Dax. I was kind of like in your area, but in Phoenix. And my aunt just had her 85th birthday. So most of the members of my family went there, and we had a really good time. It was hot as Hades, and very hot. We're drinking water constantly. But we had a really good time. She had her birthday at a bowling alley, so that was a lot of fun. That's why I wasn't around last week. But basically, I've been getting into some new things lately, and I'm not going to talk about it now only because I want to practice it and see what happens. You know, possibly down the road, talk about what to do and how to do it and things of that nature. So I'm kind of working on some new magical skills. So I'll be talking about that the next few weeks. Yeah.
Awesome.
I was going to say, I hear radio topics already coming out.
It won't be for a while, though. It won't be September. I want to give myself a few weeks to kind of test this out. But, yeah, definitely sometime before the end of this year I'll be talking about that. So and I love to do different kinds of magical practices, spiritual practices, especially ones that I have done and I've had success with. You know, so I can kind of get that out to the world and let other people know how to do it.
And our topic today, divine altars, you know, for some people that fits into their magical practice and ritual. So we'll be getting to divine altars momentarily. I did want to mention, because Sharona is going to be hobnobbing with Radley Valentine. Hello, jealous. She won't be around next week, you know, when we have the show, but Rose and I have invited Sharona to join us the rest of September. I don't know. How many Fridays are there in September here? I think there are four. Okay, so you won't be with us on the 6th, but the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th, Dr. Sharona Rapsik will be on with Dr. Rose and I. It'll be the doctors are in three more times through September here. Of course, Sharona is actually – I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. She's launching her own show in October. So that's why she's hanging out with us, Rose. Let's ask Sharona about that. So when is your new show going to air? And do you have a title yet? What's it going to be about? Is it just going to be you? Not just be you.
Well,
You could do a show all by yourself.
It's going to be just me, but I'm going to be inviting I know a lot of awesome friends here in New York, and I'm always meeting really cool people. So I might, you know, there might be other people hanging out with me, and it's going to be
get Radley on.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I'm going to try to, you know, maybe get him on for a Friday so that, you know, he can be on with the doctors. And, the show will be starting in October. So it'll start on it's going to be the second and fourth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern, and then you can just kind of go into the handy guide that's on the psychictalk.net radio network, and they'll tell you what time it's going to be in your area of the woods. And the two topics I'm thinking of, maybe the second Sunday, it'll be angel talk because, you know, I'm a big angel lady. I've been talking and seeing angels all my life and probably in other lifetimes. So I'm definitely going to do something. Maybe the second one will be angel talk. And I'm kind of leading toward this magic thing for that maybe it'll be magical life or something like that for the
Oh, I love that.
The fourth. Yeah, because magic is real. I mean, we're able to co-create with the divine or whatever you call it. We're doing it even when we don't think we're doing it. And one of the key things is if you get more conscious of what you're doing, you can, what a wonderful world this will be. Can you imagine if everyone was shining and doing, you know, magic and seeing the goodness that comes out of magic? What a different world it would be. So I want everyone to shine their light.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I'm getting so excited and getting all my little ducks in a row, as they say, and getting ready. You know, it's a big step. You know, like we, any of us that you've gone, you probably happens with you when you stepped out. It's scary, but I know with the support of Dax and our whole family of, you know, house and everything, I can do it. This whole radio network is just a wonderful place to hang out. You know, we have our own little tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and two things, Sharona. Okay, so I'm looking at the calendar. Oh, and the time is up too. 11:11. I love that. Oh, the master numbers. Anyway, I'm looking at the calendar. So your premiere episode is going to be on October 12th, and then the second show will be October 26th. Second and fourth Sunday. And I was just thinking how, you know, everything fits into magical. I mean, you could even call the show something like Magically Speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Definitely.
That's nice.
Yeah, we speak magic into our voices. We can command. You know, the first thing was the word. And if you think about all of the magical traditions out there, what you say happens.
Yeah. And because it's radio, it has that double meaning, you know, because it's voice and speaking on the radio in interviews and your show and everything. So it just fits really nicely. I like that. I remember we had a show on one of our previous networks. It was called Spiritually Speaking, I think, something like that. So Magically Speaking, it just popped right in my head as you were talking about that. And everything fits into that, you know, so. Sounds exciting. And by the way, that I want to let everybody know. I just noticed a flub here. I was looking at the Saturday. Actually, it's Sunday. That would be the 13th and the 27th. Sorry about that, guys. I had so many things
October,
I was trying to.
We're talking
in
about
October.
October, right? It would be the
yeah, October.
It would be the 6th and the 20th.
No, that's not right.
You're right. It would be the 13th. Yeah, the 13th and the 27th.
Yeah.
You got it.
Sorry, not meaning to. I hate, you know, confusing everybody that's listening in here, but, you know, I'm trying to get out of all this cool information, and, you know, your eyes kind of glaze over as you're looking at the calendar and everything. Plus, different calendars put Sundays in different places, which also just confuses the heck out of me. Anyway, but Sunday, it's going to be the 13th is the premiere episode, and then her second show will be the 27th. And what I was trying to say when I noticed that flub was that I was going to say that October is also when Angelic Realms Radio with Maria Moss comes back. So we haven't been having shows on Sundays because Cooch Daniels is on sabbatical and we're not sure when she's coming back. She's not on summer break. She's literally on a sabbatical. And so it may be a while before she comes back. And I don't know if it'll be Sundays or a different day that she'll be coming back. We might have to do back-to-back shows, which is actually kind of fun. And Angelic Realms was on summer break, but is coming back. So now there's going to be shows every Sunday, which is really exciting. That's starts on October 6th, so you'll have Angelic Realms on the 6th, and Magically Speaking on the 13th, and then Angelic Realms on the 20th, and then Magically Speaking on the 27th. So it's going to be great. You know, we're almost back to a full schedule. A lot of our shows have been on hiatus, you know, summer break, things like that. Plus in November, Vivian Aubin, who used to be on the Tuesday show with Rose Fullhorse. Rose just got a fabulous new co-host, Dave Nunley. He's a paranormal investigator as well as a tarot reader, and their shows have been great so far. So Vivian went on sabbatical, and now she's going to come back, and it tentatively we're scheduled for a November launch of her new show too. So, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and a lot of our shows are coming back already. So we're almost back to a full schedule this week, and then in October, I'm sorry, and it's next week in September when September starts. You know, we're going to be almost a full schedule, and then I know that Stephanie's got it. Tarot on Thursdays. She's been on sabbatical as well, and that's because she did a move, and then she had an operation, not a crisis health situation kind of operation, but an elective cell operation. And I don't want to go into details because, you know, she might not want that live on air. She might want to talk about it if she comes back to her show. But we don't know if she's going to be back, when she's going to be back. It might be September. It might be October. So that's everything going on with the network here. And before we get to our topic, Divine Altars, ladies, I've noticed we have a caller. Do you want to take a caller first? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Awesome. You ready, Sharona?
I'm ready.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And, I got to put my card of the day back into the deck and shuffle for this caller. So real quickly, let me let everybody know, card of the day is the Chariot. And it's often triumph through adversity or a journey or endurance, decisions at a time of crisis, strife leading to victory, progress, taking a road trip. You know, there's a lot of different possibilities with the Chariot card. So that's the card of the day. And then the energy of the day, 8/30/2019, adds up to 23. 2 plus 3 is 5. So we're in a 5 date, and the day is the 30th, so 3 plus 0 is 3, so a 3 day. 3 is creativity and communication. We had a 3 date yesterday, actually. So continuing with that theme of creativity and communication, and then today is that high energy 5 energy date. So it's also the number of change. It's the number of the adventurer. It's also sometimes called the chaos number in numerology. So you want to set the intention now that you're not going to go to that direction, to the negative pole, to the chaos, but rather keep it positive with that adventurous spirit, taking advantage of the high energy to get a lot accomplished today, work on those creative projects because of that 3 energy. And also, you know, with the Chariot often talking about, you know, taking a day trip or a trip or a vacation. I know a lot of people are doing that in the U.S. anyway because it's Labor Day weekend, but it fits in perfectly with that 5 energy as well. So everybody have a fun and safe weekend this week. Hang on for just a second as I gather these cards and shuffle. We're going to go to our first caller here. You know, it's funny, ladies. I don't know how it is for you, but, you know, I'm working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. So holidays, it's not like it was when you were a kid, you know. I mean, or even in my 20s and 30s and what have you, you know, it's, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like holidays just don't have that effect on me. It's just another day to me. In fact, it's quite the opposite than it is for most people. For me, it's just like, damn, I can't go to the bank on Monday. Or damn, I won't get that thing in the mail I'm waiting for on Monday. Have you noticed that?
Or the garbage will be delayed this week because of the holiday.
No mail, kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, well, I think it all changes once you grow up and you know, I think it's all kind of, we do think of the holidays and the end of the summer, it's a link back to childhood. But once you get a grown up, then, holidays don't mean that much to you.
In fact, it's quite the opposite. It used to be fun, and now it's just frustrating because it's like, okay, on Christmas, in most of the world, everything is closed, and it's like, hey, I just want to go to Starbucks and have my latte. I don't care about anything else, Luckily, because of how the economy's been and everything over the last few years, that most businesses don't close down on most holidays like they used to. It's down to just being Christmas where they're closed. I mean, even on like Thanksgiving, there'll be special Thanksgiving sales and stores will be open, on Thanksgiving or they'll open at midnight going into Friday for Black Friday. Have you noticed that too? So it's crazy, Yeah. So for me, it's just another day and it's probably keeping me from my mail and going to my bank and going to my Starbucks on Christmas. What were you going to say?
I was going to add that, and even Labor Day. Now, Labor Day was supposed to be a day, that one day of the year where you're not working, right? but there are Labor Day sales, right? There's, grocery stores are open, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
Absolutely. Back? Sorry, I'm here. I'm here. I'm always here. I'm always here. It might just be that I'm dealing with the mute button again. For some reason, the mute button on my phone is fine, but I'm Skyping in, and also operating the switchboard and everything for the show. And sometimes my screen just freezes and I'm sitting there pushing, and I can't unmute myself.
Okay.
It happens.
You're still there.
It happens. Oh yeah, I'm always here.
I hate that when that happens.
Yeah. I'm always hearing everything, just like earlier we were in the green room getting ready for the show and, I popped you guys into the green room and you guys started talking. It's like, where's Dax? No, I was there listening to everything you were saying. I was just on mute and I was in the background doing, Twitter posts and promoting the show and all that kind of stuff. That's all. So I'm always there listening. It's just sometimes I can't get to the phone, so to speak. Can't get to it. Okay, so let's see who's been waiting the longest. And oh, they popped off. I guess, sometimes, we're having a lot of fun on the show. I apologize, folks, if we have fun. it's like, hello, the show is, not all about you, okay? It's like it amazes me how people will call in and typically now that the caller dropped off, I'm just going to go on a rant because it's like I've been noticing this, people don't have especially in our modern world where everything's instantaneous on the net and so forth like that, people just they don't have the patience. It's crazy. And so, you call into a radio show and you can get a free mini reading, which is saving them like $50 to $100 what they'd have to spend to book a reading. And they don't have the patience to wait, 5 minutes. In fact, I just literally say, okay, we're going to the phone lines. And then I went off on a tangent for a couple of minutes, but really, I'm coming to you because I just said that we're going to the phone lines, you know, and you can't wait 2 to 5 minutes, you know, and to get a free reading. It's just, I don't know. It's like end of rant. Okay. End of rant. But it just amazes me, you know, what do you guys think about that? Have you noticed that on the shows or?
I think some people can be impatient, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, they're like, they see your advertisement, oh, free reading, and, you know, they want something immediate. Or it could be something just more mundane, like they don't want people to know around them that they're on a psychic show, so they hang up, or they're at work and they're not supposed to be on the phone.
Right.
Why?
There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, there is some, there, you know, there can be some impatience with that. I think I noticed more about the personalities of the callers. You know, we have some, mm-hmm. you know, great, wonderful callers, some people who really listen, and then we have others who, you know, it's the same problem every week, you know, or every day.
Yeah, and give me my free reading. Give me my free reading.
Right.
Yeah, so like just yesterday, you know, the day before, I forgot that Stephanie shows off on Thursdays, but the Wednesday show, Charlotte and I were back on the air, and, you know, we've been on this every other week schedule, but then we have also had technical difficulties with Blog Talk, and so it had been like 3 weeks before we could get on the air. So Charlotte and I were really excited to be back on the air. And, oh, my God, we had great callers. And this is the thing. You know, I was worried being off for 3 weeks whether we would even get callers, right? Because that's what happens a lot. But we had 20 people in the caller queue. It was amazing.
Wow.
And I bring this up. Isn't that incredible? And I bring this up because I remember getting to some of the calls, and I looked at the call hold timer, and it's saying, you know, they were on hold for 58 minutes or 46 minutes. And we'd bring them on. And like what you were saying, Rose, about their personality, because they're still all excited an hour later. You know, they get on, you know, it's their time. And they're complimenting us. They're like, oh, yes, I've been listening to the whole show. You know, everything you guys were talking about, all the callers, how you were talking with the other callers. The readings you guys were giving were just amazing. And, you know, they're excited to be on the show, you know. And that's the kind of listeners and callers that we like, you know, versus the, okay, I've been on hold for 1 minute and, you know, when are you going to get to me kind of caller.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's see. We did have another caller come in. We'll take that caller, and then we're going to talk about divine altars. And we still have a half hour left in the show. We got plenty of time, folks, if you want to call in. So let me give out that phone number again, 714-816-4628. We're going to go over to area code 510.
Hello?
Hi, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Tamika from California.
What's going on?
Hello, Tamika.
Hi.
How can we help you?
I want to know, what do you see? You see anything positive happening for me?
In what area? You need to narrow it.
Finances. Yeah. Finances and love. That's where I'm lacking at.
Okay, so what's the most burning question, would you say? Is it around your finances or the love question?
The love question.
Okay. Sharona, you want to go first?
Okay. The first card that I'm pulling up is an angel card that says intention. So, you know, we were talking earlier, just the three doctors, about how our thoughts and our intention is so important. You know, you have to put it out there that your intention is that your you're looking for love. And then you have to, what I'm getting as far as an angelic message is there's no need to worry, but it's also accompanied with something about take action. So you need to put your intention out to the environment and then listen for the clues that the angels are giving you. You know, it's one thing to put it out there, but then you got to do the work, because it's saying that by doing that, you're getting a definite yes, and it's going to take a little strength to do it, but put yourself out there, go to parties, go on social media, and also listen for the clues from your angels.
Okay.
Yes, and, you know, I'm getting really good cards, but one of the cards is a major arcana card, and it's the World card. And in readings lately, I've been getting that card when it's the question involves the internet or being online.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I'm
thinking,
online. I'm talking to I've been online talking to someone, but it's kind of fishy. You know, I don't know if this is actually the actual person or this is a scammer. You know, I don't know.
Ah, okay. Ah. Well, do you know anything about the person? Like, do you know their sign, for instance? Are they a Taurus, a Virgo, Capricorn, any of the earth signs?
Well, they're supposed to be a Libra.
Libra, okay. The reason why I asked that is because in my cards, two people are showing up, and they're both pentacles, sometimes called coins. That's the earth element. So these people are they're either a Taurus, a Virgo, or a Capricorn. So be on the lookout. One of them is represented by the Page of Coins and Page of Pentacles. So this person's meticulous, diligent, studious, good-natured, persistent kind of person. There's a lot of kindness and knowledge, and there's learning typically with the Page of Coins. This person might even be a student. They're either chronologically younger than you, or they have a very youthful outlook if they're in the same ballpark age as you. Okay. Then there's the King of Pentacles showing up. Now, this King of Pentacles is either chronologically older than you, or somebody around your age in the ballpark, but has a much more mature outlook on things. Somebody that's really solid and reliable, respectable, consistent, resourceful, things like that. So there are a couple of people showing up, and some of the hints that I'm getting here, the High Priestess is talking about what Sharona was talking about, looking inside, and working on it from that angle. And then there's some other cards talking about things from your past, people from your past that might be helping you out with meeting these people. And these two people, I don't think you've met them yet. And you might meet them online because the World card showing up, but they also, one or both of them might also come through your connections with, you know, friends and family and stuff from going way back. You know, not recent friends, but like really deep past friends there.
Okay.
So I hope that helped you out.
Yeah, it did. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Enjoy your weekend. And she's here in the U.S., so enjoy the Labor Day holiday. And you can give us a call. You know, we're going to go into the topic, but give us a call at 714-816-4628. And real quickly, I want to mention that I'm going to be on the air tomorrow with Mary on our Psychic Saturday show. And we're going to kind of look a little bit into the history of tarot. Specifically, we're going to be talking about tarot reading through the ages and what did they see And this is Mary's topic. She actually brought this up. So I got to get her to kind of quantify what she means by what did they see. I think I know what she means. Like, you know, were they seeing in the cards things differently than how we see now reading the cards in the present? So it just sounds like an interesting discussion. And of course, like always, Friday and Saturday are both open lines, mini readings. You can call into the show. So Mary and I tomorrow. So ladies, let's see. This is your topic, Rose, right? You came up with divine altars. Why did you want to talk about divine altars? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, well, basically, one of the things that I love to do is working with divine beings or celestial beings. I don't know if this is part of my upbringing, maybe it is, but I always find it most helpful when you're working with a being that is beyond my own consciousness, right? Because I see the world in a very limited way. And so when you reach out to divine beings, celestial beings, some people deal with planetary beings, basically what we're talking about are gods and goddesses and angels and things of that nature, right? That which doesn't quite exist in the same way that we do in our 3D earth plane world. But when we reach out to them, I find that they are really helpful and they're very much on your side, meaning, you know, helping you to succeed in any area of life that you want to succeed in. So that's why I wanted to talk about altars, in particular divine altars, because they're basically a way for you to have a personal relationship or even to strengthen your relationship with a particular divine being. Basically, the altar would occupy a physical space that serves as a place to pray, to meditate, communicate, such as talking, confessing, if that's, you know, what you want to do, asking for help, et cetera, with a divine being. And altars also bring in the energy of this divine being into your home or wherever you have your altar. Some people have an altar at work, a little small miniature altar at work, or maybe it's a bigger one. For example, if you've ever gone to a Chinese store, meaning that it is a store that has, oh, I don't know, objects that you would traditionally or most typically would get from China or made in China, you might, or actually restaurants. I've seen this in Chinese restaurants or other Asian restaurants where when you walk into the door, you will see somewhere like a statue of a being. Sometimes it's one that represents wealth and money and abundance.
A
dragon. They'll have incense next to it. There's a reason why they do that. It's about bringing success and prosperity into the business, right? So you can do the same thing in your home, at your workplace, wherever you feel comfortable enough to have an altar. It serves as a way for people to be able to serve the divine being, if you think of it that way, serve or worship the divine being, to demonstrate your love and compassion, for example, through physical offerings and to make gestures of devotion and commitment, you know, to the being. So basically, it's, you know, if you might have heard of the expression, a relationship is a two-way street, right? And we can take this concept to heart and treat a home altar, whatever, wherever you have your altar, as a space for an embodiment of the divine being and create welcoming, hospitable conditions. So with the home altar, you're treating the divine being or you're interacting with them as you would a beloved, cherished house guest, you know, someone that's really important to you that you love very much. So you'll make sure their place is clean. You make sure that they are comfortable, that they're fed and things of that nature. And that's the way to, you know, approach them. You approach them also with a lot of love as well. Like when you fall in love with them, they always say love is a very powerful emotion. And especially when you're working with divine beings, when you fall in love with them or when you demonstrate love to them, it really draws them near. And, you know, the advantage of that is that not only will you have their energy in your house or around you or within you, but also they are willing to be there to help you with any issues that you have, right? I've had an instance where I was just, this was a few years ago, and I just felt kind of heavy with just negativity. Not that I was thinking anything in particular, but almost as if something was sitting on my shoulders. And I couldn't even pray or chant or whatever, meditate. So I just lit the candles on my altars. I have about three areas in my room that has altars. And I just, you know, laid down for a bit. And then after some minutes, it just, whatever this negativity was, just lifted up, you know. And that's partly because I keep altars in my home. I take care of them on a regular basis. I use them to communicate to these divine beings. And, excuse me, when I need help, they're there, you know. Anyway, so I'm going to talk specifically about a home altar, but this is any altar wherever you decide to have it. You know, obviously you want to put an altar at a place, in a place that is not going to be bothered as much. You know, you don't want it low enough if you have little kids to be touching and stuff like that, because they'll, you know, toss things. Or you know how kids are. They're just exploratory that way. You also want to make sure you also want to make sure it's not in a place where people will touch it, because you remember, it's like creating the home of the divine being. You don't want, you know, people just kind of touching things, leaving their imprints and stuff like that. But anyway, a home altar is a personal sacred space. It's your space. So while, you know, I give you suggestions here, please know that, you know, you follow your heart for whatever helps you to commune with one or more of your divine archetypes. With divine beings. One of the things is that, you know, I'm going to give some suggestions about how to have a powerful altar, but also remember that your own intuition should be the driving force, and not just what I talk about. Because altars are they're different all across. There are a lot of similarities, but there are also some differences based on people's backgrounds and cultural histories and things of that nature. One of the things that you want to do is you want to keep the altar clean. You're normally going to spend some time doing chanting or some other spiritual practice or meditation. Your regular use of the altar space for spiritual practice helps an energy to build up in that space, right? Because the more that you call on the divine being, the more the presence will be there. It's like an energy vortex that makes it easier for you to perform a consistent practice. And, you know, it's just like anything that you practice, just as you, you know, practice brushing your teeth or, you know, eating breakfast, you know, having a home altar helps you develop a regular, positive, good habit for your spiritual life. So, you know, once you set it up, it's good to, you know, utilize it, right, as often as you can. So the use of home altars or altars in general has been around for centuries in various religions and spiritual practices across the world. They're typically composed of a specific physical location where there are symbols or statues or printed images. Yantras is another one, if you know what a yantra is, and or other energized objects that represent one or more specific, being. One of the most fascinating things about altars around the world is that they tend to have the same elements on them, as I was saying before, usually a representation of air, of water, of earth and fire, and in some cases, metal. So, for example, a candle or a lamp is going to represent fire. A glass containing some kind of liquid that would represent water. Or plants and flowers to represent earth. And then incense represents air. And then some altars have a bell. Some people believe in ringing a bell to bring the divine, it's like a, you know, like a doorbell almost, like a little bell which is made of metal, and that would be metal, right? And at these altars, you have, you provide offerings. So in some cases, it could be flowers. Flowers are great because they contain this great purity. They are connected to the Akash or the space element of the causal plane. They attract divine subtle particles in space through their petals and charge the atmosphere with spiritual vibrations. And just think of it, if you don't know what that means, just think about when someone has a bouquet of flowers in their home. It just brightens up naturally, you know, your home or that room, right? It's always lovely to have a bouquet of flowers. Food. So food is really dependent upon the divine being that you're working with. Like in the Eastern traditions, they don't typically offer meat. Most often it's some kind of vegetarian food. Milk is usually okay if the vegetarian food has it, but not eggs or anything like that. But there are other divine beings where they offer meat. So that's, you know, it's completely up to you. And, you know, if you're not sure, definitely do some research and find out. But food offerings. And you can offer some current day food. I don't always suggest packaged food, but I know with some of the altars to the Hindu gods, I have offered M&Ms. You know? That's what I had, and it's something simple. I don't do that a lot because M&M's is like a sugar, what do you call it, a sugar trigger for me. So, because with the Hindu altars, when you offer food, that the divine being actually puts its energy into the food, and then you can eat it or drink it, and it's considered to be blessed, right? Or you can give it to somebody. So, you know, that's why I try not to do M&M's or too much chocolate or something like that because I end up eating it. water is always good to have. Water is also very much a conductor of energy. And so it's good to have water that's there. Some people will have certain kinds of juices. And, again, that depends upon the what the archetype prefers. It's always good to offer, when you can, something that the divine being likes, right? They all have some kind of favorite something. So you want to offer that, you know, as well, when you can. And if it's not something that's feasible for you, don't worry about that. Offer what you can. So in terms of materials that you would need to set up an altar, first of all, you need to choose a physical location. It can be a small space. It could be a large space. It really depends upon what you want to do and what you have available. You can use the top of a bookcase or a table stand. I've used the top of a TV table tray, you know, for that. I would usually say that you would put down some kind of clean cloth. Some people use natural material. It just kind of depends upon what they want to do. But I usually kind of put out a cloth or something like that, something colorful or the color of the divine being. Another material that you want to have is a representative image of an archetype. So it could be a printed image, it could be a statue, or a yantra if you're doing the Eastern traditions. And what I recommend, like if you're going to do an image, my recommendation is you have an image where the divine being is looking directly at you and you can look into their eyes. There's something about that, and I don't know, I mean, I'm sure there's a psychological thing, but there's also a spiritual connection when you do that. I have wall tapestries of certain gods on my walls, and when I see them every day, there's some kind of shift that happens. I can't really explain it, but they're looking directly at me. Like, it's always nice to have, you know, images of them anyway, but when they're looking up or down or in some other direction, you don't really have that connection. But when they're looking straight at you, it's just there's something there, right? Something magical, as we were talking about before. You want to have a candle that would represent fire, like I said, a small glass or container of water. Some people like to use incense as well, like a stick incense or what are the little cone kind of things or oil, and that's fine. I like incense a lot because, especially the sweet smelling or floral smells, because it just changes the essence of the room. Like, I've been over here, I don't know, you guys can't see me, but I have a little container of lavender essential oil at my desk. And when I want to just kind of put myself in another space, I'll just open it up and, you know, put some right underneath my nose or sniff it. And I don't know, it sounds weird, but it just, like, I love lavender. Lavender is just, it's a heavenly smell for me. And it just totally changes my perspective, like, immediately. You know, when you smell something that's nice and wonderful and beautiful, and it just kind of opens up these, you know, different worlds to me, well, wonderful worlds. Also on your altar, you want to have a small plate for food offerings. again, in the tradition that I do it, after a few hours, the food offerings can be eaten. Now, there are other traditions that say that you don't do that, and that what you do is you put the food items outside somewhere in nature, you know. Maybe a small little animal will find it or something like that and eat it or partake of it, or it just becomes, you know, a part of the earth. So, and that's basically it. And then also I said, you know, you could do a bell as well if you want to use a bell to help call on your divine being. But one of the wonderful things, it's wonderful to have an altar and to, you know, really have that contact, that close connection. I'm all about having a relationship with a divine being and being close to them and inviting them into my life, you know, not only when I have problems, but I'll ask them to walk with me or walk ahead of me and clear the road or, you know, fix me on the inside or remove all this negativity on the inside. I often have I had traveled to Arizona, and I have a little crystal statue of Ganesha, the elephant head god who removes obstacles, and I took him with me, you know, and I had a little small altar in the hotel room. It was just on the, I have a little sack, you know, almost like a tarot bag or something like that, something similar, and I just put him on the tarot bag. I had a candle and a lighter with me, and so I'd show him the light and talk with him, and, you know, you can do that as well if you have a statue or something or a yantra that's small enough that can fit into your bag. You can take them with you. You know, so if you're, let's say your work environment is a negative environment, you can take them with you. You know, these are, you have them at your altar, you've been praying to them and whatnot, you're building up that energy. And if they're small enough, you can actually take them with you so that they're there protecting you and things of that nature. So that's all I really wanted to share about it. Let me mm-hmm. add one last thing is that you want to, you know, you want to keep your altar clean. You don't want it to get dusty. The other thing is that you don't want a lot of people to touch the items. You know, just if you have guests and people who are curious, just say, I respectfully mm-hmm. ask you not to touch it because it's the home of the divine being. And, you know, it's like, you know, their special room. You don't want them people touching. And, you know, people have energy and they leave their energy imprints and stuff like that. So just ask them. I respectfully ask you not to touch it, but you're welcome to look at it, you know.
Well, a lot of people I know a lot of people put them in their bedroom. And so if they have guests over, they can just close the door to their bedroom, you know, if they don't want anybody near it or touch it. And, I mean, the vast majority of people that I've ever been in their home and they had an altar, that's exactly what they did. They put it in their bedroom.
Sometimes
their bureau, like
the top shelf of a bureau or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people, if you're lucky enough to have a room that you can dedicate to altars, to divine altars, that's fantastic. Not everybody's in that situation. You can have it in your bedroom, that's for sure. I know that there are some traditions out there that to recommend that you don't do that only because people tend to, you know, do things in their bedroom, have sex and walk around nude or whatever. So depending upon what divine beings you're working with, you know, some of them may be a little sensitive about that. I mean, I don't.
Well,
really
if the divine being is Loki, you know, I mean, they're going to be all for that, you know. So.
I know some of them like to watch. No, I mean, I just think of it as, you know, it's my room. I do whatever I want to. It's me and whatever. But my
mm-hmm.
thing is that I
well,
just
it could
don't
be a study or an extra room you put it in.
Right.
You know, just
I
not
mean, if you,
as long
you
as it's
feel,
not in the common areas.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't always put the – well, you can. Some things can go into – some altars can be in a common area, like Ganesha at the door or, you know, like you see in Chinese food restaurants or some Asian food restaurants. You can do that. But what I would – like I said, it really depends upon you and what you're comfortable with. I don't mind having that – well, basically the best place is for them to be in my bedroom because I have another huge room, but it's just too much stuff that's going on there. It's too much – too many items, and it's a bit chaotic for me. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, if you're worried about, well, what if I have sex or masturbate or whatever, do something, pick my nose, or, you know, just the thing is, don't invoke them when you do that. Don't have their candle on or something and say, yeah, hey, look at me, you know, unless you have that kind of party being or something like that that doesn't mind, like Loki. That's
yep.
But just, I just don't invoke them. You know, I do.
Well,
my stuff,
idea
whatever.
About altars completely solves all of those problems, but I'll get we'll
that?
Get to that in a minute here. Yeah. Well, I was going to see it. I was going to see if Sharona wanted to chime in before I tell my version, which is 180 degrees opposite from your version, Rose, and for a different minded person or a different situationally different. I'll
uh-huh.
explain that in a minute. It's fun. But let's see, Sharona, you know, did you want to chime in on this?
Well, I was going to chime in on a type of altar that is very common in New York City. I know Dr. Rose talked about, and you know, the ones and they're that are also common in New York where you'll go into a, you know, a Chinese or an Asian restaurant. But there is
mm-hmm.
a type of altar that is very popular in New York City, and one of the reasons that it's become popular is we have a lot of people here that are from the Caribbean, also from the southern United States, but it's
uh-huh.
a saint that's worked with in Latin America, Mexico, even in France, and the name of the saint is Saint Expedite. So even the name is kind of fun. And I can put in the chat room some links to Saint Expedite. But it's actually a form of, I guess, what you would call Santeria, where you had people where maybe they couldn't openly practice their faith in front of the general public or culture that they were living in. So they actually took Roman Catholic saints. So Saint Expedite, he is a Roman centurion who was martyred. So you often see him, I mean, everyone in New York has one of these statues. He's generally holding a cross, and with one foot, with his right foot, he's either stamping on a snake, kind of like Saint Michael, or on a crow. And what you do, he is kind of like, almost like a Lord Ganesh, in that he helps you break through difficult situations. So you'll often see in New York, people will have a shrine to Saint Expedite or Saint Expeditus. And what's kind of fun is he loves pound cake. So you'll see people where they'll have the statue to him. And, of course, in New York, you kind of keep you get kind of like a pound cake that's wrapped up because we don't want to invite too many of the nature spirits because we have those or little critters. And I want to tell you, and I'll put up information on this, it works. So, you know, you get your statue or you get a picture of mine of him. And it's similar to like what you were saying. You set up your little altar, bring him a little piece of his pound cake. It's common there that you will ring a bell. He also likes rum, too. So, you know, it's kind of I just wanted to bring that in. I live in New York, so wanted to kind of bring in a little bit of New York spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You also see him too if you go to New Orleans. He's very popular with the spirituality that's there. But yeah, altars are really, I mean, I put them, they're all over my place. I just kind of, it's almost like, I don't know, whenever I arrange stuff, people will say to me, hey, you put up an altar. I think what's kind of fun is you want your altar, you know, we're talking about intuition and things like not intention and things like that. You do want to have an altar where maybe it has one focus. That's where it's kind of fun to have different ones. You got to keep it clean and tidy. There's some people who say that if you do an altar and you're working with one saint or one angel, don't mix up pantheons because you want them to all speak the same language. I mean, those are, you know, different things that I have heard. So let me put up, I'll put on the chat pages about St. Expeditus, because he is really fun and want you to know he works and he works fast. So that's kind of cool. Now, Dax, I think you had a cool story you were going to tell us.
I know. It's such perfect timing. We're like here at the end of the show, so I'm just going to briefly mention this, and if anybody wants more detail, they can ask on our next radio show next Friday, because Dr. Rose and I will be back on the 6th, and then you're joining us on the 13th, Friday the 13th. So we're going to have to do something about that. That's going to be fun. Friday the 13th, you know.
Friday the 13th. I love it. That's,
we can talk all about the traditions about Friday the 13th, you know, and how that came into being, and the number 13. And from a numerology position, you know, what does that mean, if anything? You know, so it's going to be fun having you back, Dr. Sharona, on the 13th. But it has really been fun today having you on. What do you think, Rose? Have you had fun?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sharona is just a delight. But thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you. You guys, too.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. So, you know, when the two of you were talking, I was thinking about that. It's like I know a lot of the divine beings that you're including, you know, is often from the pantheon in India. And then, of course, you know, there's Greek and Roman, there's Christian, you know, the saints and Jesus himself and Mary
Caribbean,
and all that kind of
African
thing. Caribbean, right. and then there's also pagan, you know, and so they'll have the god and goddess, because they have that aspect like that, you know. And I wanted to throw in there, though, you know, almost all of these include the elements, you know, water, air, fire, earth, all that kind of stuff. And so for people that don't believe in or don't have any, I don't know, they don't work with divine beings per se, you know, but they might still be magically oriented. They might still, you know, work with the elements, so that you can still do a divine altar even if you're not religious or don't believe in divine beings necessarily, but you do believe that there's more going on and you do things magically. Some people are like that too, so I wanted to throw that out there. The other thing is that, as I just said, most of these altars, you know, contain the elements. And what a lot of people don't realize is that you have everything you need. You have all the elements right there in your tarot deck. And so,
yes,
I actually did a class with Renee Cummings, was one of our hosts a couple of networks ago on the radio. And I did a class with her where it was, you know, tarot, the only altar you'll ever need. What's really cool about the tarot deck as an altar is that you can take it with you anywhere, and you can pull them out and you can set up an altar instantly anywhere on the planet. You know, the other neat thing about it is you don't have to keep it clean. You know, you just keep it in its pouch. You don't have to worry about having sex in your bedroom in front of the altar, because you can put it in your drawer with your socks. You know, so it don't know. I just,
you know,
had to
throw that
out, because Dr. Rose and her sex in front of the altar thing. But let me just tell people how you do this real quick, and then if you want to bring anything up, you know, feel free. So the neat thing about it is, and there's multiple ways of doing it, but you can have this in your purse or your pocket, right? So you go in there, And typically, you know, what I do is I pull out the Temperance card from the Major Arcana. And I kind of do this for multiple reasons, but emblazoned on the chest of the angel, which is Archangel Michael, actually, in the Temperance card, in the traditional Waite-Smith version, is a square and a triangle within the square. And this is the symbol that represents tarot, actually. It's also a symbol of life. The triangle is spirit, and the square represents the physical realm. And the triangle or spirit within matter, the physical realm, the square, that's what life is. You know, at least our type of life, you know, humans and other creatures on the planet. You know, we have our spiritual part and our physical bodies, okay? And as long as the spirit is within the body, we have life. And the reason, or one way to look at the square and the triangle as representing tarot, to wrap your head around this, imagine the Fool card being in the center of the triangle, representing, remember, that's not a numbered card, so that's it's zero, so that's the void. The Fool card is the void, not the Western version of void, which means devoid of everything, nothing there, but the Eastern version of the void, meaning not manifested yet, without form, formless. That's in the center. And then you have the triangle, so it's in the center of the triangle. Now imagine the other 21 cards of the Major Arcana lining up around the three sides of the triangle, so seven on a side. Now look at the square and imagine lining up all 14 cards from each suit along each side. So you have all four suits, you have the 14 cards lined up around there. So that's tarot. And I take the Temperance card and I put it in the center, and then I make a mini cross. We call it a mini cross because a lot of people are familiar with the Celtic cross, and there's a staff, and then there's a mini cross there, and there's a card above, below, to the left, and to the right. And so I just put and because the Temperance card is from the Major Arcana, it's representing like the triangle within the square, it's representing the element of spirit, or the fifth element, or the quintessential element. And then around the Temperance card, I'm putting the four aces, representing the four elements from the material realm, earth, air, fire, water. And I lay that out on any surface, and voila, you have an instantaneous altar. And you can lay it out wherever you are to invoke whatever you want, however you want to use this. I typically lay this out to begin a tarot reading, to create sacred space. And then I either keep that out because I pulled those cards out of a separate deck, or I gather them back in and then do the reading and then cast it out again and then pull the cards back, okay? One other way I wanted to mention real quickly is that there are four angels in the tarot deck. So if you wanted to create the four corners with the four cardinal angels, you could do that as well. That's another version of that. But typically I just go with the elements and the Temperance card being the spirit, the element of spirit. So that's my version of an altar, and you can take it anywhere, and you don't have to keep the dust off it. And when you go on vacation, you don't have to gather up all the statues and all the paraphernalia and everything, and the candles and everything, and put it in its own separate bag and you know, try to get that checked on an airline and fly that out with you, you know. You just put the deck of cards in your pocket or put it into your purse or what have you, and take it with you, and you can set up your altar wherever you are.
What works for gypsies? That was the whole thing with the gypsies. They had their everything in their pocket to earn a living and worship. And, you know, another card you can put at the center, too, is the world card, too. You know, put that at the center because it's got the, it has the different, you know, the different elements. I was just going to add one funny thing there. You know, we don't want anyone to touch our altars, but there is something you can't keep away from your altar, and that is your cat. So I always tell people, altar cat friendly because, that's the first place
my
the cat's going to go.
You, but my version saves you from the cat, too. Because you just put the deck back in your pocket when you're done. You know, this is not, and you know, and that's something I wanted to, you know, all kidding aside, you know, an altar does not have to be out all the time. It doesn't have to be. The Asians love to have their altar contained within a cabinet where they can close the doors and they only open it up and then light incense, light candles, and they only open it up for prayer, and then they, you know, put out the incense, put out the candles, and they close it up again. Oh, by the way, if you are, you know, traveling, that's another great thing is, you know, in addition to the tarot deck, all you need is a couple of small candles too. You know, if you want to, you don't need that, but if you wanted to add that, just carry a couple of small candles and you lay out the cards as I described, and you have two candles, one over here on the left, one here over here on the right, light them up, boom. You know, then you could do your practice, let's look at what you could do with that. Okay, so you could do your practice, whatever that is. You could do magical incantations. You can do prayers, you know, whatever you need to do. And then you just, you know, put the cards back in the deck, stick it in your pocket, put out the candles, and boom. Go ahead.
I have another suggestion, even a more simpler form, if that's possible, is that, and I want to be just recognize people who cannot have an altar for whatever reason. You know, they don't want people in their home to know what they do, or because sometimes you know, folks can be antagonistic or whatnot. So
yeah, and it's
you
personal.
Really can't have an right. It is personal. If you really can't have an altar, one of the things that I've done, like I said, I work with Divine Spirit, so I imagine you can do the same with the tarot. I'm not sure. Is that I have had pictures of the god or goddess or angel, whoever it is, on my phone. And I could use it as a background, image, or it could be the locked image, or just have it on my phone. And I've done plenty of times when I traveled, I didn't travel with any lighters or candles. I just wasn't able to take any of that with me. But I always take my cell phone. And so one of the things that I've done is that I would have an image of the being, and I would just look at it and chant or pray. And I'm telling you, that works too. I've even done it with a tablet. Even though it's a digital image, you can do that. And then you can take it, you know, if you're, like I said, if you don't want your family members to know what you're doing, you know, you can hide that in a way, you know, not to say that you should, you know, chant or meditate in the bathroom, but, you know, you can take it. Or, you know, you can roll over in the bed when it's dark and put your phone on and have the image and do your prayers. And that's also powerful as well, you know. So, like I said, I always have my phone with me, and so that's another way to do it. If I can't take any objects or things, I always have my phone with me. So you can use the image in that way as well without having to have anything, much of anything else.
Oh, and another thing is, you know, following along with what you're saying there, Dr. Rose, is you take your phone and take a picture of an altar that you do have set up at home, and then you can take that image with you on a
right.
trip.
Right. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
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 Perfect. Yeah. So there
That's
are many
another
ways,
thing.
You know, many kind of altars you can have, from digital to physical. You know, yeah.
Or just your deck of cards. I love it.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. That was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And we went a little over. I got to get going because got a lot of things to do. But I will be back on with Mary. So, you know, if you you aren't away on vacation for the holiday, call in tomorrow. Talk to Mary and I. Dr. Rose and I will be back next Friday. We're already into September. And Sharona, Dr. Sharona will be joining us on the Friday the 13th. I love saying that. Friday the 13th, she'll be back. Oh, my. So much fun. So much fun. Remember, you can go to psychictalk.net/upcoming to see all the upcoming shows listed. I have them listed out to the 15th of, you know, halfway through September. So 15th of September. So, yeah, so you can see all the shows that are coming up. You know, they're starting to come back. Couple more in October, including Sharona's new show, and hopefully Vivian and perhaps Stephanie too will be back by November. We'll see what happens. It's really exciting getting back to the full schedule here. So you can call in any day of the week, and you know, if you don't get through with your request for a mini reading, you just call in the next day. You know, it's pretty great. At the most, you only have to wait 2 days if there's no show scheduled tomorrow. So that's everything that's going on. And I had a lot of fun chatting with you guys.
Same here. This was a wonderful conversation. Yeah. And thank you so much, Dr. Sharona, for blessing us with your knowledge and presence and energy. It made it really fun.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Love you guys.
And thanks to all our listeners and all our callers. You know, without the listeners, we don't have a show. So thanks to all you. And good to see you. Goodbye to everybody. Goodbye, Rose. Goodbye, Sharona. And have
a
great
week.
I guess we should tell everybody, don't forget to have, you know, have a wonderful but a safe Labor Day weekend. All right. Be safe
Absolutely.
Out there. Bye. Bye, everybody. Bye, Rose. Bye, Sharona.
Bye-bye. Bye, Beck. Bye, Sharona. Bye, everybody.